It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA episode, well, season 5, episode 149. Hey, today's conversation is a little different because I'm joined by someone who brings a younger perspective, honesty, real insight. She's been on the podcast before. Joining me today is Reagan. Reagan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, you cut the camera. You didn't want people to see the shades this time? You changed up on me.
I have to be able to see.
I got you. Hey, I'm so glad you're on here. So I have a guest, and she's ready to come on. She does it all, spoken word, rap, street ministry, ministry as a whole. But before she comes on, I want to talk about something. I want to talk about gospel rap or Christian rap, you know, and, you know, that's a genre that creates, for lack of a better word, strong opinions in churches. And people are kind of split on how they view this ministry. And, you know, some question whether rap and faith belong together. So I want to hear your perspective, Reagan, on gospel rap. And not just as a teenager, but as someone growing up in a world where music shapes identity right now. So what's your take on gospel rap?
My personal experience with gospel rap has been that I really enjoy listening to it with, like, the upbeat, positive messages that comes from the lyrics and the beat, but also having the lyrics and how it worships God in such a powerful way that's different from the traditional or more old school sounding gospel music.
Well said, well said. So, emotionally, let's talk about the emotions when you first hear it. What do your emotions say to you? Does it feel inspiring, relatable? Do you get clarity? What's going through your emotions when you hear gospel rap?
What goes through my emotions, I feel like really happy, and I feel a lot like lighter and more positive than I did before listening to that type of music. And it's just something that it feels good. Before you listen to it, you might feel a little bit bad, but after, it feels makes you feel so good.
Hey, amen to that. And so when you do you have friends? I would love to know, like, when young people, do they feel, why do you think they resonate or they connect with Christian rap versus, is it because rap is the language of young people, for lack of better words? Or what is it about Christian rap that traditional gospel sometimes can't accomplish with young people?
When it comes to gospel rap or just Christian rap, I feel like when it comes to my generation, the younger generation, it kind of speaks more volume and understanding the word of the Lord and putting it in better words that we will understand. And the difference between, like, my parents' gospel and my gospel, it makes it seem not only more interesting, but also it makes it seem better to understand, and it helps, like, understand what the artist is really trying to say.
I love those answers, you know. And what I love about this, so when, and I'm just, this is a sidebar before we talk a little more, but when we were talking about this episode, and I said, Reagan, I want just the heartfelt response on Christian rap. And that's all I gave you, and said, hey, let's just talk about it. And you're knocking it out of the park, really, to be honest, because I want our older people, the elders, the people who we try to, I don't want to say convince, to be a little more open, because we're losing our young people. They're not coming into church like before. And you try to, you know, give them this as an alternative, and not all, a lot more are open to it. But when they hear your voice, this is what my prayer is. When they hear, did I say prayer? When they hear your prayer, when they hear, this is what my prayer is. When they hear your voice and you're giving it to them like this, just straight, no chaser, honesty, heartfelt, I hope it really penetrates. And I mean, and that's all I can say on that, because this is really important, because I think it's a bridge. What do you think that that your generation, you mentioned your generation, what do you think that y'all are hearing that older people are missing about? If you had to tell someone older, like, this is what you're missing when you prejudge gospel rap or put it in a box, what would you tell that older person, this is what you're missing out on?
I would definitely say you're missing out on a different sound, something that is newer, something that is a little bit more modernized, but also it still connects with everybody, and it still spreads the Lord's message, and the soundings of the music can touch more people than just normal gospel can.
Yeah. Well said again. Now, do you, when you see a gospel rap artist or hear them, do you feel like you can connect, that they're more, I don't want to say down to earth or real, but do they seem more representative of who you are and what you're probably going through than a traditional gospel artist?
Yes, for me, I feel like I can like understand them and touch like with them, because like normal gospel, I feel like it's like targeted. Sometimes it's targeted for older people, and the gospel rap has a little bit more of like a twist that can help me go through anything that I might be feeling. And it really helps me find that, you know, other people, older and younger, feel the same way when they're going through different struggles with trying to connect with the Lord.
Amen. I love that answer. And I've shared this on the show when I first started doing gospel rap, and I was somewhat inspired by a friend of mine, his daughter, and she was in church service, and she said to me, I didn't understand anything that was being said. And when you just said it, what you just said is how they're speaking your language. You understand what they're saying. That's where my brain went to. So that was a great answer. Reagan, this has been great. I really appreciate you. Anything you want to add before we go to the commercial?
Just try to give it gospel rap a chance. You could really find some really cool artists, and you can really connect with some people that can really change your mind about this genre as a whole.
Amen. Reagan, I thank you. You have been a blessing to the show. We have to do this again. I love when you come on, and man, keep doing what you're doing, and good luck on your track meets. You're knocking it out the park, man. And when we come back, y'all, like, this is on topic. MC, spoken word artist, youth advocate, man, art intervention specialist. You know, You're Gonna Love Her, y'all. Plug Into Love is coming when we come back from our commercial. Y'all stay breezy. Reagan, keep doing what you're doing. One.
From the top, produce market, your health food store, with vegetables and more, fresh fruits, slushy juice, and acai bowls too.
Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Beautiful people, we are back, man. And this sister right here, y'all, she tears it up. You gotta check her out. One of the baddest lyricists around, poet. I heard her do it all, man. The artist, plug.
Hey, brother, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, man. I thank you for working with me. It was a family emergency, and we had to reschedule. So I just wanted to publicly, because you're the second person that I've had to ask for that courtesy to be afforded to me, and I really appreciate you being gracious.
No, it's definitely understandable. Life be life, and sometimes, and we gotta have grace for each other. So it's all good.
Amen. So I know you're on a real busy schedule, so I'm going to ask you right off the gate, before the stage, before the streams, before people knew Plug, who were you when no one was watching?
I think I was still trying to figure that out, and I'm still figuring it out, you know? I feel like I have a better grasp on who I am and who I'm becoming now, but before I even discover my artistry, I was seeking, because I always had this little thing in me since I was a little girl. It's like, what was I put on this earth to do? And so I was always seeking this this purpose, this destiny, if you will. And I think that colliding with music and poetry, I've always been a writer since a child, but really understanding how the power of it, or, you know, my gift, discovering that I actually have a gift that's impactful, like, it really did change the trajectory of my life, in a sense of, like, okay, I really have to give this gift to the world. I really have to write. I really have to create. I really have to speak what is in me to speak, whether it be in a public speaking forum, a ministerial setting, on a track, through a poem. So I think before I was plugged, or before I discovered this gift, I was still trying to figure it out. And I think, you know, discovering it has helped me kind of put more of a purpose and a identity to who I am, a part of who I am.
Amen. I love the answer, because especially the figuring out piece, because it is a journey. We're still growing. I always feel sorry for those who, I don't know if sorry is the right word, but maybe it doesn't even matter how old you are, but when you think I've done all I can do, there's nothing else for me, It just breaks my heart when I hear that, because life is a journey. You should continuously try to learn, regardless of age. And then I love how powerful this is, because, you know, you do love that version of you as the artist, because you're healing and you're healing others. So
Absolutely.
So paint the picture for us, like, growing up in Durham, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that and the challenges.
So I really had, I would say, a pretty typical childhood. I faced my challenges, like my parents, like, they were hardworking. So I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. And so my grandparents, I really give them a lot of credit for raising me. And that's my truth, and I'm sticking to it. You know, my grandfather, he took us to school, picked us up from school, helped us with homework. My grandmother cooked us meals and, you know, helped us with homework as well. And my grandfather taught me how to ride a bike and taught me how to cook my first meal. So they really cultivated things in me that I don't think I would have otherwise gotten because my parents worked so much. And of course, like, I don't take away from who my parents are and what, how they helped raise me as well, and how they provided me, kept a roof over my head, clothes on my back, food on my table, all those things. But the molding of Alyssa, the molding of who I am, I give my grandparents a lot of credit to that. I was always a wordsmith as a child. Yeah. Like I started talking at 9 months, and I was saying full sentences at 9 months, and I was speaking the truth. Like I'd be out with my mom, and I'd be calling people out in the store and things of that nature, and so she'd be very embarrassed about some of the things I would say as a child. But yeah, I think it just gave light to who I was and what I was called to be and called to do. And you know, I did face challenges as a child, as a teenager, with being sexually abused and, you know, struggling with my identity and just trying to find who I was and having a voice and wanting to fit in and being teased and, you know, not receiving some of the nurture that I feel like I should have received as a child and things of that nature. And so, I think that on paper, somebody just looking on paper, like my childhood was exceptional. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But my childhood did damage me. Like it did damage me in certain ways. And, you know, I'm facing those things as an adult and dealing with those things as an adult and, you know, being intentional about my healing as an adult, because, you know, those years are vital, especially when it pertains to receiving love, how you view yourself, you know, confidence and all these things. And so, like, you know, being social and, you know, being able to communicate with people and all these things. And so I feel like it had a huge impact. My child had a huge impact on, you know, what I maybe felt like I was slow to learn, things I might have been slow to learn, things I might have been slow to experience, but everything happened in God's time, and I'm grateful for healing. I will say that I'm grateful for healing.
Amen. You said a lot. I'm gonna try to
Yeah, I did.
It was good. No, it was all good. But the first thing, when you were talking about your grandparents, and I love you said, I'm not taking anything away from my parents, but I thought it was ironic because just yesterday someone, I saw this on social media, and they were talking about the significance of having grandparents in your life.
Yes.
And they talked about better behavioral issues, improved academic skills. You really experienced unconditional love. There's mentoring. Yeah. You know about family history more, you know, and so it's just so many benefits. And I do feel cheated because I didn't have my grandparents in my life. And I'm just thinking when I see that, man, you just hit it on the nail. And then the other thing you were talking about, being abused as a child too. Like, I can't tell you, and our listeners know, so many of my guests have shared that on here.
Too common. It's unfortunately too common.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things, and we've talked about that on here before too, because especially in our community, we're told not to air our dirty laundry.
That's true.
So these predators get to thrive because no one's calling them out.
That's true.
So, yeah. That's true. Yeah. And then the last thing, I'm trying to remember everything you said because it was all good stuff.
Take your time.
Talked about, the art, the artistry part of it, of like who you are. And I think sometimes we think differently as artists.
And
people will, they'll sometimes say you're weird or different. And you're susceptible to be bullied. and or Outkast. So, but that uniqueness, you know, and I'm saying this intentionally for the young listeners who have that skill set, and you know, because you're special on so many levels, and
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a lot, man. A lot of good stuff, and I really appreciate you being open about it.
Yeah, that's the only way, especially as an artist, because it's I write about it in my music. You know what I'm saying? So it's inevitable. It's gonna come out because it's made me who I am. Like, and of course, like somebody could agree to disagree, but this is my experience and. These are the things that have shaped me and molded me and things I've had to overcome and still overcoming, you know, and I'm not going to let nobody take that away from me. And I'm going to extend it to others because it's been so many times that I've done pieces and people come up to me like, oh, this happened to me as well. And your words touch me simply because I'm being open about my experience. And so it's,
so Tap In is a events ticketing slash artist promoting platform. There's three features that come with Tap In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. Is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
Well, your words touch me simply because I'm being open about my experience, and so it's definitely more than just about me.
Yeah, and I love how you wear your faith on your sleeve too. That's the other piece. And that's encouraging for our young people when you couple that with what you've been through. And so, let's talk a little bit about the faith. Like, was it a moment or a process? Because a lot of us grow up around faith, but not always in faith, if that's making sense. And so, so when did it go from being something you knew about to someone you actually knew?
This might be crazy, but it was honestly about 5 years ago. I was a part of a ministry. I was a part of a church, and I was serving. I was a leader. I was on leadership. I was doing all the things. I was laying hands and casting out devils and speaking in tongues and praying for people. I was preaching. I was doing all of these things. And God called me away from the ministry. And when God called me away from the ministry, I was demonized. I was, you know, and of course, like as an unhealed person, you play your role in it. I don't say I was just a perfect person in the role. I did leave respectfully, but there, you know, was drama and all these things. And I was pretty much at from that point, I had been a part of that ministry for about 5 years. And so that was my family. Like, you know, that was my family. I found solace being a part of this ministry. And when I left, it was made to seem like God was leaving me. And so because of that, I really had to seek God in a manner that I had never sought him before. Simply because I did hold weight and value to what they told me, the teachings, because it was a powerful ministry. And so I saw God move. And so in my mind, I'm like, you know, of course he'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the word. But in your head, it's like, oh, I'm leaving this church. This is all I've ever known. This is where I've seen God move. And now I have nothing. And I really had to seek God, and it was definitely a process. It was a process. It's still a process. But I can truly say that no matter what I've gone through, since that point, I've understood it to be okay. And no matter what you're going through, you take God with you. I don't care if you're going to the crack house, to the whorehouse, to the strip club, take him with you. And know he's with you. Even though you're in the thick of something, if you're depressed, you anxious, you whatever you're going through, I learned that. And it might not be a good theology, it might not be good sound doctrine, but I learned that in taking him with you, even in places that I didn't necessarily belong, places where I was confused, places where, you know, I had revisited in the past, I was going backwards. And taking God with me, it just shaped me. Because before,
hey guys, I'm happy to share with you that we are hosting a STEM hip hop camp for the town of Fuquay. You go on their website for the town of Fuquay and register for BAM. BAM stands for Build a Molecule. Kids will have the opportunity to build neurotransmitters, amino acids, DNA strands with their friends, listening to music, learning the chemistry that's in the music that they listen to. Go register. We'll have some fun together. And also on our website, you can follow us at www.brainstemology.com as well as manifest.com. And follow me on my Instagram page, Professor DOC Scholar, and you'll be able to learn everything about our programming, our summer camps, and even our gear, our clothes, our hoodies, our hats. That's all hip-hop related, STEM related, for the family, for everyone. And I'll see you guys soon. Peace.
He's still looking at me as whole. He's still looking at me as his child. Like, yeah. And it's hard to navigate when you've only been taught that you're nasty and you're dirty. Yeah, we are. We simple. We made a sin. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're flesh. Like,
yeah.
No flesh can glory in his presence, but it's like he doesn't look at us that way. And so really having to reshape seeing myself the way God sees me when I don't see myself in a certain light, or the world has, or people have told me, like, I'm nasty or I'm dirty as well. So definitely a process, definitely a journey. But it wasn't too long ago when I really had like a real encounter. Like, and I've had experiences, I've had encounters over the years, but like that true like shift of like, yo, like that's my dog, like that's my partner, like, you know, type thing. So yeah.
No, you made me think about a lot of things, but the first thing, when you said God called you to leave that church, was there another assignment? Tell us about that. Like, what did you hear? Yeah.
So at that time, there was a lot going on in the ministry, and it was actually declining to the point where, you know, leadership was not leading in a manner that was healthy. I'll say that. And so, gotcha. I had already like was backing away from certain duties, because it got too much. And so when I left, I really believe I was just on a quest. Like I was literally on a quest. Like I was on a journey. I ended up traveling to various places. I went to California and spent time with a sister in Christ, and she poured into me. Then I ended up going to Atlanta to a pastor. He's a mentor of mine. He pastors down there, and he works with youth. And and him and his family and his church, they just poured into me. And I experienced a level of love that I had never experienced before.
Wow.
And I began to, that's really what it was, a journey of like a love journey, like a love walk. And I really began to really understand what my brand, Plug Into Love, like really what that means. And I definitely for some time was away from the church. Like I did not go to church. I didn't want to be in the church. I ain't want nobody to prophesy to me. I didn't want nobody to call out my name. I ain't want nobody to pray for me, because I can't. The ministry I came from was a very prophetic ministry. Prophecy was always going around. People was always, getting props out of houses and cars and all this. I didn't want to hear none of that. I didn't want to hear none of that. And I got to a place where, again, like I just was cultivating a relationship with God on my own, learning how to rest in his love, learning how to trust him on my own without a prophecy, without an apostle, without a prophet, without an amen corner. Like, it was really just me and God. And I really think that did cultivate my listening ear to him as well. And I'm not saying, I believe everybody should have a church home. I believe everybody should have a gathering place, have a leader that they are submitted to. But I was in a season where it was just me and him. And that was the season where I found him the most.
Amen. I love what you said. And I do agree with you, because I think all of us who, well, I can't say all of us, but especially creatives, right? But people who are always thinking outside the box and like really trying to ask questions that we need answers to. And sometimes those four walls can't answer that. And what I love what you did, and you went out there and found a whole different type of love, because we can be in those walls and it can be noisy, for lack of better words, and you're not really hearing God, because you're caught up on what the shepherd of the church is doing. And sometimes it becomes, instead of service, it becomes a worship, the church leader experience.
It becomes performative as well. Like, you forget, you forget, like, I'm literally here to serve God. Like, I'm doing this. Do all things that you do unto the Lord. So it's like, now I got to please my apostle. I'm low-key competing with this person over here who in apostle face too much. Or, I want to lead this committee. Or I want to, somebody to hear me preach. Like, no, like, it then becomes about the wrong things. And I hate that. I'd be quick to be like, that ain't it. I don't like stuff like that. Because, if we can be honest, this is not a glamorous being in ministry. Being called, like, it's not glamorous. If you're doing it right, it's not glamorous. If you're doing it for the right reasons, it's not glamorous at all. Now, there are benefits. No. Don't get me wrong. There are benefits to serving God. There are benefits to being in ministry, but it's not glamorous. People don't see the blood, the sweat, the tears, the pain, the denial, the self-denial. Like, people don't see that. And if people is living a glamorous life in ministry, baby, I feel sorry for them, because they're going to have to answer to God. They're going to have to answer to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. And it is. It's dirty. Your hands are dirty. And you're serving people who other people will shun, and that includes
that's the homeless, that includes people
who suffer from mental illness, includes people living in poverty, you know, and those are the things that, to me, because I've been in a church where, because it was, because someone's financial status, they were, and I hate to use the word courted, but they were, everyone was around them, and they had a lot of pull within the church, and they were encouraged to take office because of their status. And I just remember sitting there watching that, saying, wow, I don't know if I like this. This is I'm a strong believer in the principles of Jesus and what he did, and who he served. The least is the most important. And so you look at it that way, you flip this thing upside down. So
that's so true.
And honestly, when I saw some of your posts, I heard what you were saying, and I said, we're aligned in that way of thinking. And I knew I had to have you on. So
yes sir.
So let's talk about going on stage, right? And the difference between, what do you consider yourself an artist who delivers the word, or a minister who
is, so
yeah, tell me.
I think I'm in a season right now where I'm really like dealing with that, like, you know. And it's so funny that you asked that, because for a long time, like, music was the main thing. I'm like, music is the vehicle that's going to get them in the car. Like, music is the vehicle that's going to get their heads bumping, and I'm going to be able to tell them about Jesus. And it is.
Yeah.
But as of recently, I've had more of a desire to preach than I have to rap. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's because of the state of our youth. Our youth are in a horrible state right now, and they need truth. But also, I see how everybody wants to be an artist. Everybody wants to rap. Everybody wants to do music. And that's like a turnoff as well. But I know I'm still going to have to do music. I know that's a part of it, but it's like the passion for preaching the gospel, the passion for spreading the news of Jesus Christ is kind of exceeding my desire to want to get in the booth and create content. I know I have to still do these things, but I'm definitely more so leaning towards the minister that raps. Like, I jokingly call myself like the rapping Billy Graham. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I believe that at some point I will have the platform as a Billy Graham, but it will be like this evangelistic, creative type of platform, if you will. And so I think God is shifting that. I don't really, and then me doing my research on hip hop, like I do a deep dive in like the origins of things, and just seeing how social media just makes everybody want to like be a star. And it began to turn me off. And then I used to get prophecies all the time about being famous and meeting celebrities and being in the limelight. And I began to get like excited by that. And God, I literally like, and I tell any artist this, especially if you say like you serve God, like I set my artistry down for some time. Like I set it down, like I submitted it to God, like here, like I'm too bent on this. Like, let me lay it down. And I gave it to him. Like, I gave it to him, and it's, I'll do it again. Like, I could be on tour making millions of dollars, and he say, lay it down, I'll lay it down. Like, I'll lay it down. Like, it's that's not a thing to me anymore. Once you do it the first time, like, you know, you should be good to go. But I definitely leaning more towards a minister who raps or who spits. It was an MC type thing.
Hey, man, holy ambition, man, holy ambition. So, excuse me. I would just share this with you, because you're gonna have those moments, because you are creative. You wear many hats, and I can tell you there are times. The same thing you just said is like, I don't even have a spark or an interest to spit bars, and then 3 months or 4 months, sometimes a year or 2 years go by, and it's like, it's time now. And so I would say just enjoy the journey. The journey. And
absolutely.
Yeah, don't let anyone else tell you. You tell yourself. So I love everything I'm hearing, man. You just got to keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you ever feel restricted, like people try to put you in that box? Because I can tell you, when I was doing my music and going to, I just remember this one promoter saying, he was like, every gospel rapper wants to preach. And he was like, if you want to preach, be a preacher, but we just want to hear the gospel rap. And so do you feel like you've been restricted? Like,
no, I don't allow people to label me. I don't allow people to put me in a box. I think when I get on stage, I give people an experience. So, and it's nothing but the power of God. But I think that the way God has created my voice, the way he's put words inside of me and revelation inside of me, it come out how it come out. Like, you know, and so you take plug or you don't take plug. You know what I'm saying? You can't pick and choose when it comes to me, because one thing about me, I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. Like, if I'm like, I did like a show maybe a couple years ago, and it was Beats and Bars in Durham, and they, you know, that's a hip hop show, that's a secular scene. But after my set, I said a prayer for the city, like, you know what I'm saying? That was what placed on my heart to do. Like, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, I'm gonna do it. I don't care where I am. I don't care where I am. So no, I don't allow people to put me in a box, and I wish, you know, people wouldn't try to put others in boxes, like, because we all have a unique call, a unique gift, and so we can't, when we begin to try to manufacture that and tweak it, we tweaking with God stuff, so we can't do that.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Yeah, and here's the thing, you were where people needed you and where they needed to hear what you were delivering, right?
Yeah, for
I've
sure.
always frowned on the recycling ministry, you know. Have one person jump from one church to the other. That's not what it's about, right? We're supposed to be traveling the globe, ministering and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we don't do that. We tell someone, hey, come. And that's happened to me where a pastor said, hey, you a member of a church? Yes, sir. Come on over to my church. It's like, you don't, yeah, that's not what it's
Yeah,
about.
that's not it's not
We're
it's
reaching the
that
ones who,
competitive.
yeah, we're supposed to be reaching the people who don't have that relationship yet. And so I'm glad you were there in Durham doing that, because that's who many of them needed to hear it. And you just never know who heart you touched and who you
Absolutely.
encouraged to open the Bible when they got home. So,
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, sir.
yes, I appreciate you. As we wrap up, I always give the mic to my guests so they can talk about anything they want. Any
Okay.
events coming up, your web page, your Instagram, your handles, any of that. I know you and I, we got have an event August 1st. I'll start talking about that more to come, because we're still
Okay.
signing different people to the program. But
Okay.
yeah, anything you want to talk about, the floor is yours, plug.
So right now I'm just focusing on creating new music. I do have a poetry book that's out. It's called Plug Poetry, The Beginning. And that's been out for some time. I really haven't pushed it like that. I'm in the process of about to drop a children's book. Me and my niece, we created a children's book. Yeah, and so that'll be out fairly soon, along with new music. I have merchandise. You see, I have a hat right now, limited edition hats. I have hats. And it's Plug Into Love on all platforms. PluginToLove on all platforms. PluginToLove.com. And yeah, like, I'm just me, and I'll probably be taking a little time off social media to cultivate this new season I'm going into. But feel free to reach out, feel free to book, feel free to support, and ask me any questions that you might have. But yeah, I appreciate this time and this platform. I really, really do.
Plug, we love you. Hey, y'all, loving to plug into love, my girl. I'm telling you, she's throwing it down. You gotta check her out. And
Thank
I'm
you, thank
looking
you.
forward to August 1st, my sister.
Yes,
So,
me
yeah.
too. Me too. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, plug.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.